The internet changed everything for sales and marketing. Artificial intelligence is going to change everything again. Welcome to AI for Sales, a show that looks at how artificial intelligence is changing sales. Join noted author, speaker, and AI for Sales expert Chad Burmeister as he interviews cutting-edge founders, CEOs, CROs, CMOs, other business executives, and AI experts on the weekly AI for Sales podcast. Join the AI for Sales revolution.
Hey everybody, Chad Burmeister, CEO of ScaleX.ai and the AI for Sales expert on the AI for Sales channel. And today I'm with Matt King. Matt is the Enterprise Director at Ambition. And if you're not familiar with Ambition, you should be. I've known these guys and the founder for a long, long time. Matt's been there 3 years. Ambition's been around even longer than that. So Matt, really happy to have you on the show and do some banter around AI and what you're seeing out there. So thanks for being here today.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me, Chad.
Yeah, this will be great. I like to, before we get into the talk about techs and speeds and feeds and AI and all that, to help our audience get to know you personally, Matt, tell us a little bit about, you know, when you were younger, kind of what was your thing then? You're now obviously enterprise account director. Like, were you a sales director from the time you were five, or what were you passionate about then?
Definitely not in sales since I was five. In my younger days, I was a big sports fan. I loved playing baseball, played all the way up through high school and college. So always competitive. Baseball was my thing. So a lot of time focused there. Also liked to tinker. So tear stuff apart, build it back up, have fun with that. So that ultimately led to an early pursuit of engineering and wound up, you know, in manufacturing and operations early in my career, which is not sales, but fortunately had the opportunity to stumble upon that path a little later. And here we are today.
Well, that's good because you're one of the salespeople who actually adds value to the customer, where I think a lot of times, you know, I've managed salespeople who really could be not concerned about that. And hey, I'm concerned about getting my next sale for $1 million. Why would I care about the customer? And having a son who's in the engineering school, I can see his starting in that area. And then over time, maybe he'll transition into a business slash sales kind of a role. But I like that starting from there and moving into sales versus the other way around. So that's pretty cool. So how does that tie into what you're doing at Ambition? Is there a thread between, you know, starting in engineering and what you're doing now?
I think there is. I couldn't tell you most of the stuff from the books and the equations that I learned in engineering school. But what I do remember is, you know, the process and the approach for solving problems. And so I get to apply that pretty much every day. So it's figuring out, well, what's the real pain points? What are we trying to accomplish? And what does a good result look like? And so being able to use that to help structure the conversations, but also to help guide how do we get from point A to point B. I get to use a lot of those basic sort of fundamental principles day in and day out.
So tell us about high level Ambition, 30,000 foot view, you know, what's the elevator pitch? And then I think it'd be fun to go into a story, right? What's one of those problem solving areas that you went into? Ideally, if it has some component of AI in it, but let's go high level and then go a little bit more on the ground level.
Sure. So Ambition as a product, we're in the sales performance management space, which is pretty diverse. There's actually some much more like heavy hitters in the AI space there, like Chorus and Gong. Conversation intelligence is there. There's BI tools. Where we really fit is in providing gamification and coaching tools to frontline managers so they can better manage their reps and drive better performance more consistently at a higher level. And so it's using a lot of the same data that's pulling from these systems and presenting it in interesting ways and providing tools that you can actually act on the front lines to engage your reps.
Got it. I think I remember speaking at a Salesforce Dreamforce event probably 10 years ago, right when gamification was coming out. And so we did about 10 prep calls ahead of time with this gamification expert there. And the sentence that comes to mind is gamify the behavior, not the outcomes. Because a lot of sales leaders tend to say, well, let's just throw up, you know, you got to get to 300,000 in bookings and we'll gamify that. And it doesn't, and then they wonder why they hit 100,000 bookings for 9 of the 10 reps. And so gamifying the behavior of, hey, you've got to do this many personalized emails, send four swag gifts that, you know, I just talked to someone who does personalization called Alice, A-L-Y-C-E, really cool company. It uses AI to serve up what's the next personal outreach you could do. Nice. Based on the information that's accessible on the web about you.
Yeah. Right?
I like it. Really neat. But those are the kinds of things I think that we should be gamifying. Tell us about a company that you may have gone into, figured out the problem, and then mapped ambition. And how did that work?
Well, I don't want to be sensitive to customer information out in the wild. So let's say this is a big tech co, Silicon Valley, and they've got a brand new sort of go-to-market model, moving from traditionally field sales to predominantly digital inside sales channels. And so they're all about that change management and making it as easy and smooth as possible to help foster that new culture, that new approach, those new processes. And so they saw ambition as a way to help supplement that process, especially around sort of the feedback loop. You need to be able to not only set expectations, but you need to be able to instrument the process and get immediate feedback to know, are we on track or do we need to course correct? And so ambition helps provide some of that insight, some of that smarts, and serves it up in a meaningful way. So leadership can really tell, are we on track or not? And they're not surprised at the end of the day. I always like to say that, you know, birthdays are for surprises. Otherwise, you need to know what's going on and you don't want to be caught off guard. So we were able to provide that type of insight. And it's not just data, because I mean, information is good, but being able to present it in a meaningful, engaging way is also where ambition provides a lot of value. And so it doesn't feel like Big Brother. It's actually allowing reps to feel recognized for achievement, those incremental steps, those good behaviors that you had mentioned. It's not just, hey, I made 30 calls, but it's, I actually provided some value to the customer and it moved a conversation along in a meaningful way. So it really tied into sort of that vision that they had for fostering this new culture and standing up this new go-to-market strategy, which for a large globally matrix organization could be a pretty tough challenge.
Wow, that's cool. It all, when you talked about Chorus and Gong and exec vision, for example, it makes me think of a cool thing you could gamify, which is number of conversations that are scored above 70%. And then you could start it there and say, hey, look, my expectation is we're all going to be 70% above every call we ever have.
Oh, yeah.
Or 50% for that matter, but set a really low bar. And then over the course of weeks or months, you know, start to move that up and say, hey, like how much talk time are you doing versus listening time? Are you asking more than five call questions in a call? There's basics inside of those apps that when presented in an effective way through ambition could really move behaviors up, I think, very, very quickly.
You're spot on. And we partner with all of those companies to do just that. So while Ambition's core technology has a little bit of AI in it, we like to supplement with, you know, best in class technologies that are out there, like the Chorus and the Gongs of the world. So you can gamify things to make sure that you're saying the right things. But all, you know, some of the things that we've seen our customers do is not only tracking the right things to say, but also the wrong things. So all the ums and the ands and the fillers, you can start to, you know, those are negative points. And so you can really start to influence behavior and look at the sort of the quality aspect of those interactions in a much more interesting and engaging way.
Well, that's neat, because I think of some of the AI that I see in digital, whether you're sending an email or a LinkedIn reply, there's so much now that can be automated. And guess what? There's no ums and ahs in there. In many ways, it could be looked at and it'll become more and more perfect, the digital communication, even to the person. And so as that moves up the curve, the expectation to the salesperson to have a similar level of conversation without ums and ahs and the proper amount of talk time, I think that expectation will rise as digital communications rises.
I've got to agree. Really, the quality aspect is where you're able to tap into a lot from the AI standpoint, because otherwise it's just this sea of information that no single human or even a team has time to really thumb through and analyze and assess. So that's really where we see AI as a big opportunity to level up whether it's in our technology or partnering with other folks, it's serving this information that allows you to then act on it and drive the proper behaviors.
Thank you for tuning into the AI for Sales podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by ScaleX.ai, Pipeline as a Service, and BDR.ai, always on prospecting for LinkedIn. Visit www.scalex.ai if you want to transform your top of funnel prospecting machine, or visit www.bdr.ai if you want to hire a virtual BDR to do LinkedIn prospecting for you for just $500 a month. Well, I think about our own conversion rates. If I get on a sales call with a prospect that comes in through a white paper download, website inquiry, whatever, it's like a 42% sign up rate, because we've got something that's small, medium, and large. I'm gonna match the right product to the right buyer, and if I need to go to a short term pilot, we'll do that, whatever is required. The sales team early on, 3 years ago, the close rate was 12%. We were like, how is there a gap from 42 to 12?
Yeah.
And it's all about capturing the information, recording it, looking at where the breakpoints are and moving that up. So now the sales team, something like 34%. And so the difference between 34 and 42, look, I've got 30 years. I don't expect a rep with 5 to 7 years of experience compared to a 30-year seller to close that 42% gap. But technology can certainly help you close those gaps in short order.
Very much so. And that's part of the vision where we're hoping to take Ambition. Is if you think about the trajectory of a rep throughout their career, from what they start as an SDR all the way through an AE, there's inflection points along the way where you can start to look back and assess based on how the rest of the population is done to know, well, should we focus on this behavior versus this? Where do we need to help as far as enablement or training or coaching or guidance might go, with a much higher level of confidence that action is going to be the one that helps actually move the needle. And so you can do that repeatably, you can do it much more predictably, and you can do it at scale across a very diverse team, because no two sellers are exactly the same. But if you can lower that risk and increase your odds of success, then you're making a positive impact.
Well, it's interesting. There's a bill right now that is in the infrastructure bill. I don't know if you saw this, but I read it yesterday. And it says that one of the proposals is, if it gets passed, that within the next, I don't know how long, but all new cars will have this thing where you have to blow in and it checks for alcohol consumption before you can drive your car. And so I brought it up, and one of my family members was like, oh, that's stupid, that's overreach and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, huh, I sit on the fence. Like, yeah, it kind of could be overreach, but it also could, like we talk about Big Brother, but also keeping bad drivers off the road. Man, if you're a responsible citizen, wouldn't you want that across thousands of drunk driving accidents, right? Wait till you have someone in your family that's involved in a drunk driving accident on the bad end of the stick. And so I think about this kind of technology that we're talking about, the listening, the monitoring. We had another guest on the show, Ty Smith with ComSafe.ai, and they look for violent kind of behavior and discrimination and sexism and stuff that goes on in a Slack channel or an email. And now they have this AI that can say, hey, flag to the manager, better to catch it early. Matt, let's have a quick combo. I don't know what you meant by that email, but it's interesting to see how AI is being deployed. And you guys are certainly at the forefront of being able to present that information and gamify how it's used in businesses. So very cool. What are your thoughts of the future of AI? If you look out, 3, 4, 5 years, Chorus Gong are the first two that kind of come to mind these days.
Yeah.
What else are you starting to see show up in the AI for sales space? And where do you think it goes over 5 years?
So I think there's a couple different directions. My personal take is a big sort of heavy hitter point for AI currently is looking at all the sea of data and boiling it down to useful information. And so I see the next iteration being to take that to a little higher sort of macro level. If you think about the tech stack that a common seller has, they've got 8, 10, 12 different tools that they're trying to manage and they're using for discrete jobs at different points in the sales process. So if you're able to then use AI to better thread those complex workflows together, that's saving me a heck of a lot of time. I can do it a lot more consistently and predictably, and I can deliver a lot higher results and actually free up time to do what I need to be doing, which is talking to customers and solving problems. And so I see that as a natural progression. So not necessarily AI within one single product, but tapping into all of these products would probably have some element of AI into it, and then making a much more cohesive solution and platform type experience that a rep doesn't know whether this product is doing this or this. You're pulling a quote from one, you're sending an email from another, you're sending a chat through another, whatever it might be. All of those things, I think, can work harmoniously, and AI can help make that experience a lot smoother.
Yeah, love it. When I was talking to Greg Siegel, the founder of Alice, and he said, traditionally, AI in sales has been used to help perform the when and the what. Send an email, do a LinkedIn outreach, leave a voicemail, et cetera. Where it moves is to the how and the why, right? Why would I send out this particular email with this particular text in it at this particular time and date? And so, you know, it's interesting where you're going to see that shift, which to me as a buyer will be I'll be excited to see that transition happen, because now you're going to hit me and say, hey, Chad, I see you just went fishing. Congratulations. That's awesome. You know, I love to fish too. Like, that would be a much more welcome message than, hey, I see you're a CEO of a tech company. We help with lead generation. And you go, have you looked at my website? That's what we do too. You know, we're a competitor. What are you talking about?
Right.
And that just happens all too often. So it's interesting. If you look at the future, you mentioned a little bit already, the future vision for Ambition, where do you folks go? And, you know, what's kind of the mission over the next year to 24 months?
I think it's in line with your last statement as far as really getting to the why of folks do what they do. Not necessarily sort of contextual as far as like the personal interactions that you would have, but as a rep in seat, doing the hard work day in and day out, that's really where Ambition helps, you know, provide motivation and engagement and focus. At the end of the day, we're trying to develop sort of like this Peloton-like environment for your sales teams, where, you know, everybody's hungry to get on that saddle and grind it out day in and day out. So that's where like the fun elements of gamification can come in. So being able to serve up those more personal experiences and recognize achievements and reward good behavior, not just a slap on the back or like a quick emoji in the channel, but like really tapping into that personal experience. I think that's where we can really use AI to further enhance, you know, the benefits that gamification and coaching can provide.
It's interesting timing. I just launched a spiritual app today on my personal side of the house called 77pray.com in honor of my grandfather who passed 16 years ago today. So we were really going against the deadline, got through beta testing with 14 users, and
nice.
It's live in both marketplaces today. And it's a simple thing, right? It's just when you wake up in the morning, a pop-up comes up and says, hey, did you say a prayer this morning? Did you read a Bible verse sometime in the middle of the day? Did you invite someone? And by we're so busy human beings that it's real easy to get pulled off and do other things. And so part of the app on tab two is the gamification part. We don't call it that, but it's called progress, you know, and you click it and it shows I'm at 13%. I had 4 days and I missed one. So, okay, good job. Let's see if we can get to 100% next month, right? Just like
there you go.
Pelotoning. And this is Pelotoning spirituality. So that's where things are headed. That's no doubt about it.
Indeed.
Well, very cool. And what do you think, you know, it, like I said, I talked on this topic at Dreamforce probably 10 years ago, Jigsaw purchase when it became data.com. So it's been a while.
Yeah.
What's changed over the last 10 years with gamification?
I think looking at the early days, it was still sort of being felt out. And I think it was a little more gimmicky. I don't want to say that in a bad way, because again, it was early stage. They were still sort of figuring out how best to apply it. But it was like cars around a racetrack. Mm-hmm. It was sort of simple stuff and contests and games. And it didn't really get to, I think, some of the real value props that like true gamification can have as far as like driving real behavior change and performance collaboration, you can really get strategic with the way you structure these different elements, and certainly not one note. So you got to be able to structure gamification pieces to address all different types of personalities and personas. And so I think that's been a lot of the evolution up to this point, is understanding that it's sort of one piece of a much larger suite of tools that a manager can use.
Got it. I think of it like a QuickBooks rollout. And when I roll, you know, when I have QuickBooks, hey, here's your P&L, here's your balance sheet, here's who owes you money in APAR reporting, 30, 60, 90 past dues. And in gamification, when it first came out, it was like, all right, Chad, what do you want to gamify? I don't know. You tell me, you know, what is it? How do I deploy it? And so now the templates that are available of, hey, we've deployed call activity gamification a million times and it doesn't work. Or instead of doing activity count, gamify quality conversations per week. So all those learnings that you guys have had across multiple clients.
Oh, yeah.
I assume over a decade. I mean, you've been around about that long, probably, right? About a decade now.
8 or 9 years. Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. And Jared, I believe, is CEO these days, right?
He's our CRO.
Yeah. CRO. Okay.
Got Jared it. And Brian and Travis are at the helm.
Okay. Excellent. Well, great company, great culture. I love what you guys are doing. And you've stood the test of time. So, you know, there's a few gamification players who kind of sputtered out there. So congrats on the success. And Matt, it's been a pleasure having you on the show today.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. Thank you so much, Chad.
All right, everybody. Matt King, Director of Enterprise with Ambition. It's just like it sounds, ambition.com, A-M-B-I-T-I-O-N, Ambition. And check it out. If you haven't looked into gamification in a while, I highly encourage it. As we move from a field sales-led culture to inside sales, whether you have a field team or an inside team, guess what? 80% of the field rep's job these days is inside. And if you gamify the behaviors, you'll real quickly see upstream from pipeline and bookings, who's the winner and who's not, and how do you move more people into the winner category. So pleasure talking with you today, Matt. I appreciate your time.
Likewise.
Be well. All right, everybody. Catch you on the next AI for Sales podcast. Signing out. Thank you for tuning into the AI for Sales podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by ScaleX.ai, Pipeline as a Service, and BDR.ai, always on prospecting for LinkedIn. Visit www.scalex.ai if you want to transform your top of funnel prospecting machine, or visit www.bdr.ai if you want to hire a virtual BDR to do LinkedIn prospecting for you for just $500 a month.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the AI for Sales podcast with Chad Burmeister. As we advance into the future, we promise to bring you the resources you need to navigate the ever-changing landscape of sales to help you 5x, 10x, or even 100x your sales motion, sales velocity through artificial intelligence. To access the show notes or leave a review, visit www.scalex.ai. Until next time.